Hello, this is Andy Munch with Vinyl Connection. Coming back with episode two of my three-part series aimed at the beginner, the novice who wants to get into vinyl and they're just not sure where to start. The disclaimer is I am also a novice and a beginner. I'm really doing this podcast as a tool for people that were in my shoes. And I kind of wish I'd had something like this to listen to before I got into vinyl. I might have made some different choices along the way. So episode two is going to cover purchasing vinyl. If you listened to episode one, I covered some options as far as buying a turntable. We started out with a lower cost options and we went up to around $500 because this podcast is definitely aimed towards people that are probably on a bit of a budget that don't have unlimited funds. So that was episode one. If you listened to it and found it helpful, thank you. And I'm glad that you're back for episode two. Episode two is the part where you really get to have some fun. You have a turntable, you've got speakers, you are ready to spin. But where do I get my vinyl? Well, you're going to have two options. You're going to be buying vintage, used vinyl, or you're going to be buying new records that are available now. Vinyl has come back in a big way, so a lot of releases are getting represses, and the new artists are releasing their new albums out on vinyl format again. It is popular. Even small independent bands are releasing on vinyl. In fact, the very first vinyl I purchased was from a band called Calabrese. I had just gotten into them, although they've been around for quite a long time. And that was the first record I bought. They had an album out that I really enjoyed, so I ordered it before I even had a player, and that was the first vinyl I had. Independent do-it-yourself band, and they had vinyl. And they still do have vinyl. So this is where you kind of have options. You can have fun. This is where you can make a day of it. You can really, to me, it's like a treasure hunt. And we're going to start with the vintage and used vinyl. That's where we're going to start. Where do you find this stuff? Well, even though we're talking about vinyl format and 40-year-old records, you can use a good old Google search a lot of times, and you can try vinyl records near me, and a lot of times you'll get some good hits. I live in a small town in northwestern Pennsylvania, Bradford, Pennsylvania, so I do not have record stores in my town, but I do have some stores within a close proximity of me. So I have Buffalo, New York, is an hour and a half away. There's a ton of record stores. They deal in vintage vinyl, used vinyl, new vinyl, you name it. And that's their gig. They are a record store. Antique stores are a great place to go treasure hunting for vinyl. And you're going to hit and miss. When I first had my one record, my Calabrese record, and I wanted to get my collection going, my wife and I and my two kids, we jumped in the car. We took a trip, about a half hour drive, to a town, Olean, New York, because my Google search had nailed a comic book store as having vinyl. When sure enough, they did. They have two huge bins against the wall when you first come in. So that was my first experience of starting at the very front, and it was alphabetical, but nothing was labeled. There were no even letters put up above the records. It just started with A, and you went through and you looked, and I found two out of all that. And I'm a hard rock and metal guy, okay? So out of that first store I ever went to, I had found Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA, and Huey Lewis and the News, Sports. Both are great albums, and by the way, they're two of my favorite records to spin. And it could, one, they are great albums. Two, it's probably a nostalgia thing. They were really a couple of the first records I really got when I was getting into this wonderful hobby. But I was slightly disappointed. I was hoping to find maybe some Kiss or AC/DC, some rockin' stuff. And that first trip, we also hit an antique store, and they had a lot of vinyl, but they did not have really anything that I was interested in. And you're gonna have that. You're gonna go to a place. You may go to an antique mall or antique store, and there may be hundreds of vinyl, and you could care less about any of them. But hey, that makes the hits all the more fun, I think, going through those misses. And so that first day in Olean, New York, we hit an antique store, nothing. I hit the comic store, like I said, I got those two, the Bruce Springsteen and the Huey Lewis, so I was happy I'd gotten a couple things. And as we're leaving town, we drive by a music shop, like musical instruments shop. And my wife says, well, you got to run in there and check. Okay. So I run in. I just asked the person at the register, you don't happen to have vinyl records here? And she says, actually, we do. We have some crates, milk crates in the back. Wow. So I looked through, found Kiss Alive. That was one of the ones that I really wanted to get. I've become more of a Kiss fan the older I've gotten after getting to see them and being exposed. But it just seemed like that was one of the vinyl records I wanted, was the Kiss Alive records. And Kiss Alive 1 was at this music store, so I picked that up, and there was three or four other ones, actually, that I got at that store. So I ended up having a pretty nice haul that first day, and it just... Now I'm really hooked. I was pretty much hooked from the beginning with my Calabrese record when I first played that. But then I go out and I get some vintage stuff, and now I've got a variety to play. And that first night, I just played every one of them that I got, and it was so much fun. And I was hooked from that point on. So periodically I've hit that comic store and music store again, just to see, and I've bought things from them since, as they've replenished their supply. So you'll find, when you find places, you'll visit them again and revisit to see if they've gotten anything else you like. So I did some more searches, you know. All right, where are some more places to go? I get a little burnt out on these. You know, a lot of places don't, like the comic store and the music shop, they're not replenishing stock every week. As stuff comes in, they get it, and you have to make the decision if you really want to dig through. You get to the point at that comic store where I had gone through those bins, and it takes well over an hour to get through everything. You know, you kind of get tired of going through, and you're seeing, looking at the same records to try to find one or two records. So you want to branch out. You want to find more places. And I found a couple places near Buffalo, New York, that have great selections, actually, of vinyl. And it's really up my alley as far as having hard rock stuff. They've got new stuff. So you just have to search around, and you'll find places. So it's a lot of fun. Prices, too, are another thing. You know, some shops are going to be priced a little more than others. I guess it's just good to kind of know, I guess, what you're willing to spend, or what you think something's worth. If you're not sure, you know, honestly, I've pulled my phone out and just looked up on eBay. hey, what are they, you know, what are people on eBay selling this for? There was at the comic shop, they had a few vinyls up above the counter that must have been their special vinyls. And they had Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, and it was an original, you know, first pressing. And it was, the cover was a little bit rough. The vinyl looked, you know, okay. There weren't any deep marks on it, which is something you'll want to do when you shop for vintage vinyl. You're going to want to check to see what the surface of your record looks like. And we'll get to that a little deeper here in a couple minutes. But the Iron Maiden, I think he wanted, there wasn't a price on it, so I asked what he wanted, and I think it was like $35 or something. And I'm new to this, but I wasn't going to spend $35 on a record. I've only spent $35 on a record once, possibly twice. But the second time I'm thinking of was Kiss Alive 3, and that's actually a double album, so it sort of put an asterisk by it. You're getting two records for that price. So I passed on it, and I think another time that I went, maybe a couple months later, I asked again, and it was 20. I think the guy was kind of making up numbers. But I also knew that I could get Number of the Beast brand new pressing re-release from Amazon for $20 pretty much any time I want. So I just, although there's something about having an original pressing, it's, I don't know, there's something about, you know for sure, and you know, it's the analog feed, and it's just cool to have an original. But to me, how cool is it? I mean, is it worth overpaying for? Not for me, because I'm here to listen to this stuff, not really collect it. And again, it wasn't in pristine condition. It was okay. I mean, it was fine. I'm sure it played all right. But you, when you go to a shop, you're going to want to make sure that you look at your records. So if it's a new place, you probably want to ask at the counter what's acceptable. You know, is it okay while I'm looking through these vinyls to pull them out and take a look and see if they're scratched? Because some places will say, well, that's okay, but we want you to come up to the counter and do that. And that's fine. I know there's actually a chain store called The Exchange, and they deal with all kinds of media. Movies, video games, CDs, and they have records. They have vinyl records. They have brand new vinyl records. And the two different places I've stopped at an exchange, they've had quite a selection of used vinyl. But their policy is, if you want to look at the vinyl, you can, but you need to do it up at the register. And I would recommend that you always should do that. If you're buying a used record, you want to make sure that there's not a big scratch or I mean, light surface scratches, usually you're not going to get a problem with playback. You might get a few of the little pops and snaps that are popularly attributed to records, that signature crackle. And that's okay for some people. I don't mind it. I think it adds to the character, as long as it's not skipping and too loud. So yeah, and you can get a good feel for that. If you see a big gouge across the thing, you can kind of bet that you might have some trouble. So again, just make sure whoever that you ask the person at the shop what they want you to do. If they're okay with you as you're going through bins looking, then that's cool. Otherwise, respect their rules and make sure, though, that you're taking a look at your vinyl. And some places will tell you, too, that if you take something home and it skips, you can bring it back within a certain time frame. So that's also good to know. Good questions to ask if you're not sure. You find a record you really like, price is right, you look at it and you're not, there's some marks on it and you're not sure, you can ask if they have a return policy. And I would recommend that you do that. So but one thing, and I'm going to do another, my third podcast is probably going to go into more detail with this. You want to clean your records. And this goes for especially your if you buy used or vintage vinyl. But you also should clean your brand new records that are factory sealed. And you think, wow, why would I have to clean those? The record making process is not a clean one. So there's a chance of getting particles in those grooves at the pressing plant where they're pressing the records. So I highly recommend, at the very least, if you have some sort of velvet brush or a surface kind of brush that you use before every play. I have one. Every time I put a record on, I give it a little swipe with a velvet brush. That gets rid of any surface particles and dust, and it also helps with static. And again, I think the third episode of this is going to get into cleaning, accessories, all that kind of thing. But you should definitely have some sort of system or some tools in place that you're going to use to clean your records. And there's a ton of options, so I'm going to do a whole podcast on that. I'll give my setup of things that I have and what I do. Again, not saying it's the end-all be-all or the right thing or whatever, but it's, again, going to be focused on, hey, you're on a budget and you need to clean your records. What are my options? And I will run down some of those in episode 3. So hopefully you'll come back for that. I think it'll be a helpful one. It's some of the little details that you have to keep in mind that really will enhance your listening. It will extend the life of not only your records, but your stylus, which are all good things that you want to do. So you definitely want, when you get a vinyl, used vinyl, you want to put that bad boy on and start playing it. Believe me, I know, because that's me for sure. I'm not always the most patient guy around. But take the time. Put a different record on that you like that's already cleaned. You can make a process out of it and clean your old records. Get what you can out of those grooves before you play them. And your sound playback's going to be better. I had a copy of AC/DC Highway to Hell that I had bought used off of eBay, which is another place that you can buy vinyl. The thing I would caution about, or that I worry about if I buy off eBay, is it going to be warped? Just warping in general, and we'll get to this too when we get into new ones, by the way, but warping in general is a little harder. I certainly don't, unless something was really, really warped, it's not something you really see that well. Just pulling something out of the jacket and looking at the surface, you know, you're looking for your scratches like I talked about. I guess you could pull the vinyl out and maybe lay it flat down against the album cover and look and see if there's any gaps. But I think it'd have to be a severe warp to really be able to tell that. So that's the only thing when I've ordered a few of the records off eBay that I have. Or is it warped? You know, are you going to be able to return it, or are you just going to have to live with it? I mean, I have some records that are a little bit warped, and they play okay. It doesn't affect the playback. Sometimes it does if something's really warped. I also use a record weight that helps kind of push the records down against the platter. And again, that'll be something we talk about in the third episode of this when we get into accessories and cleaning and all that kind of stuff. So I'm always a little leery about ordering online from any place that maybe doesn't really have a return policy, because you could end up getting something that's not as if it's not as advertised, eBay will back you up. I ran into that with Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil. I got a vintage release of that and it skipped, and so I did get my money back for that. But the warping thing is kind of iffy. I mean, this person can say, hey, I sold you a used record, I took pictures of it. So just be careful. You might get burned once in a while, so you just have to be careful. But I've bought a handful of used records off eBay because prices can be pretty good. I mean, you can get some decent prices on stuff, so it's certainly worth checking out. I mean, I got the Who's Next. Believe that's the name of it. I'm not a huge Who guy, but it's one of their albums that has a lot of the songs that I like of theirs. And I got that on eBay after shipping even, it was like $6. So it was worth taking a shot, and it was fine. So sometimes it's worth a shot, man. If you get a nice deal, it's kind of worth taking a risk. So eBay is a place. You can also get new vinyl. Prices aren't always as competitive as like Amazon or somebody. I would say, and to kind of go into the new vinyl, I guess, when I'm buying new vinyl, I kind of use Amazon as my measuring stick when I'm trying to cost things out. And a lot of time, Amazon will have good deals on records, too. You can find some really smoking deals where stuff goes on sale. And I'm a Prime member, so I'll throw that out. So I get free shipping automatically. Doesn't matter how much I spend, so that helps. I mean, if you have Amazon but you don't have Prime, I think you can get free shipping if you have $50, which isn't too hard to do. You might have to cobble an order together. Like if you see something on sale for $15, like if I do and I buy it, I'll get free shipping. So that's one reason I guess I do Amazon. It's pretty good for me being a Prime member. And I will say, back to warping, that is the one thing about Amazon. It's a shame, actually. I've had a lot of records go back. A lot of records. I wish I kept track. I wish I knew what my percentage was. It seems pretty high where I get a record and it's warped and it goes back. I actually had Avatar, metal band. They have a double album, Feathers and Flesh. I think I did 4 copies of that went back, and even the one I have now still is warped. I don't know. I'm half thinking about buying another one, and then if it's not too warped, I'll do a return and send the warped one back, because it's pretty warped. I mean, so you have to be careful, but the thing is, the returns are very easy and smooth with Amazon, so while it's an inconvenience and you may be looking forward to playing a record and you can't because you have to send it back because it's warped, to me it's worth the, you get some really good deals off Amazon, that's all I know. They're pretty much the best pricing I've seen for new vinyl, and they really, like I said, if you catch them right, you can get some really good deals. I'm talking like $12-$13 vinyls with free shipping that, you know, a week later they're going to be back to $20 or $22. $20 is kind of the, I call it sort of, it's like the sweet point for new vinyl for me. It's like, I think a vinyl, a single record for me should be around $20, give or take, depending on how bad you want it and all this. And that's just me, but you can spend, again, you can kind of spend what you want in this game. But that's kind of the range. High teens to mid-20s seems to be pretty much the standard range for a brand new vinyl that isn't out of print or special. You know, you get up there a little further on stuff that might be a double vinyl, you'll get into the 30s. But again, you're getting 2 records worth of music. So you have to weigh that when you want, and you weigh how bad you want something. So obviously, if you're, you know, that was one of my worries getting into vinyl. God, this is going to be expensive. Am I going to be able to even have any, because I'm on a tight budget. I mentioned that in the first podcast. I don't have a ton of disposable income all the time. So when I cobble up some money to get a vinyl, it's a kind of a special deal, and I want to get I want it to be something I'm really interested in. But again, I've got a lot of really great deals on stuff too. So you're not necessarily paying $25 every time you buy a record. You're going to get some sales. You're going to go and you're going to get vinyl from a used shop. And that's what's really fun when you start getting vinyl that's in good condition and it's stuff you want for, I mean, some of these shops I go to, man, you get a vinyl for definitely less than $10, sometimes less than $5. You just get stuff for a few bucks and it's in great playable shape. Maybe the covers aren't always the greatest, but even then I've gotten ones that cover is pretty nice. The vinyl looks pretty nice. It's like $5. I'll do that. Although I will say one trap I get caught into, especially at the beginning, I was in such a frenzy to build up my collection and just buy and get stuff, and that sometimes I've gone for quantity over quality. Maybe I've not bought the $15 vinyl of something I really kind of really like, and instead I've bought five records because they were really cheap and maybe they weren't my favorite. So again, you gotta be careful, man. It's fun though. You get into those stores, your eyes get wide, you start seeing stuff you want. And especially me, after going, basically that comic store was my main store to go to for the first few months. I didn't really, it's not that I didn't know about other places, I just really wasn't looking at Buffalo or places like Pittsburgh or that are a few hours away from me. I was just kind of going to that comic store and looking through the same old records. So when I finally went to another shop, other shops, and they have all kinds of stuff that I'm interested in, it's like you get carried away a little bit, so you have to be careful. But I would always say, you know, when you're pulling a haul in like that, and if you got a ton of records, and again, you're on a budget and you're making decisions what you want to buy and what you're going to put back, you know, just think to yourself, quantity or quality. You know, and that's the fun thing though about vinyl too, is I'll buy a lot of stuff that I may not run out and buy. You know, I probably wouldn't go out and buy the CD or anything, but it's, something's an iconic record, and you know that it's, I mean, I did, I mean, it was a dollar, so this doesn't even count, but like Peter Frampton, I mean, Frampton Comes Alive, everybody's heard of that album. I almost feel like you should have that, even though I don't have any other damn Peter Frampton of anything, anywhere, but I bought that, and again, it was a dollar, so that's sort of cheating. I mean, you almost are obligated to buy something when it's a buck. But you, so there's just certain records you buy because, you know, a Cheap Trick Live at the Budokan, that's a iconic record, so, and it's a great record. I picked that up. That's something I wouldn't have probably run out and been like, I have to have that on CD. But you see it at a record shop and you say, wow, that's an iconic record. That's a good price, so I'm gonna pick it up. And that's what's fun. That's what's fun about it. I think for me, I've gotten a lot of different records like that at a good price that I've gotten to really enjoy. And it, when you put a vinyl on too, I mean, yeah, you can pick that needle up and put it on whatever track you want, but for the most part, you're putting down the needle and you're listening to whole albums. And that's another thing that's really nice about it. In the today's digital age, when you've got a la carte, you're buying songs for 99 cents on iTunes or wherever you buy your digital music, you know, you're listening to songs a lot of times. Not to say on digital, it's not like I don't listen to albums, but it's sure a lot easier to skip or make a playlist or whatever instead of just listening to the whole albums. And, you know, these, especially vintage, and I even think now, but especially vintage, you can tell. I mean, friends of mine, we talk about a lot, you know, I think artists thought about that back then. You know, what's a good opener? Of course, that's still valid, but what's a good closer for the first side of the record? What, you know, so I think it's neat when artists put together a record like that, where you had two different sides and dynamics of how do you want to start out side two, and, you know. So it's just more of the real beauty to me of being into vinyl. So, yeah, so you can do your new vinyls off of Amazon. Like I said, be careful of the warping because it's a problem. It's they must stack their records, and you should always at home store your records vertically. Don't stack them on top of each other. They're going to warp. And once they're warped, it's not real easy to unwarp them. There's some weird methods if you look at it on Google where people do two sheets of glass, which I don't even have that to put it in the oven. You sandwich the thing and you bake it at like 200 degrees for an hour and let it cool. I mean, I don't know who's going to do that even, but so the point is, you don't want warped records. So if you get a warped record, I recently bought Nirvana In Utero. Nirvana is one of my favorite all-time bands. And I finally, after being into this game for a couple years, I finally picked that album up. I had been eyeballing it for a while, and I found a special edition that there was nothing special about it as far as extra songs, but it was mastered from the analog tapes with this method. I can't even read it. I don't have the sticker in front of me. Some magnetic. It's a way of it, of doing the pressing. But I was interested in it. I'm always interested in new vinyl that advertises that it's pulled from the original analog source, because that's really the sound you want. Records sound better. It's that analog sound. It's the way it was recorded. So a lot of today's stuff off the new artists are going to be ripped off of a digital, and I'm sure especially these smaller bands I just talked about, it's probably cheapest for them to record stuff in a digital file and then turn it over to whoever's making the vinyl pressing for them. And that's fine. I mean, I think you can read articles about it as well where, I mean, people say they still think there's value with vinyl over playing the MP3. But if you have a chance and you're buying something like that Iron Maiden I talked about, I actually ended up buying that at Walmart for a couple dollars more than Amazon, but I was able to take it home that day, and there's something that's sometimes worth a couple extra bucks, I guess. And that was advertised, pulled from the analog source. So if you're getting stuff like that, that's a reissue. The Doors, another favorite band of mine, all their re-releases advertise that they were pulled off of the analog tapes. So if you have a chance to do that and you can get that, that to me is a bonus, and I'm always thrilled when, because some of this stuff I'm deciding, do I want to try to find a vintage copy of this? But if I can get a re-release and I know it's from the analog, then I feel a lot better about it. So I got the, back to my story, the Nirvana In Utero. I bought that fairly recently from Amazon. It was a release I'd been eyeballing for a while. It was in the high 20s. After tax, it was almost 30 bucks. That's, for me, that's pushing it, okay? It just is for me. So I get it, and of course, I always hold my breath when I get something from Amazon. Is it going to be warped? So I put on the first album, and I just let it spin to take a look, and it has a little flutter to it, but I can live with it. I mean, my records don't have to be perfectly flat. I mean, it was very, just because I was looking for it, it was a little, I definitely call it a flutter. Very unnoticeable. I'm fine with it. So I put on the second album. It definitely had, I would go from flutter to wobble. It played okay. I was just gonna live with it. Fine. It plays. It's not the worst I've seen from Amazon. I thought I'm doing a return. You pay $30 for a record. It's not my fault that Amazon doesn't know how to store their records. And the sad thing is, I don't think they care. I think they're so big that, unfortunately, it's probably, somewhere along the line, it's the artist or whoever is selling Amazon the records that probably has to eat it. But at any rate, so I did a return, and And what's nice is I did a return, and I held on to the one I had because it was playable. And I thought to myself, well, I'll get a return, and if the next one comes and it's terrible, worse than this, then I'll live with it. But I'm going to at least try a return here. And the second one came and flat as a pancake on both copies. So I was very happy, returned the first one, and that was it. So don't live with it if you get one that, I know you want that record, but you know, if it's not flat or if it's really wobbling, even if it plays and tracks okay, I say you go and you return it. And you can wait for your replacement because Amazon will send for sure, being a Prime member, I mean, they sent it out. I think I got the first copy on a Tuesday, and that Thursday I had my new one. So, I mean, they're pretty good about taking care of you. And then you have X number of days that you have to have the return back to them, or they'll charge you for the second copy, which is fair. Other places to get new vinyl, and there's, I mean, probably anywhere you think of. I mean, one place to think about, and I haven't really done it a lot yet because I haven't gone to the one. There's a few shops in Buffalo that I haven't even been to that sell a lot of new vinyl, and they sell a lot of used. They're called Revolver Records. They actually have two locations, and I'd like to check them out. I'm interested to see what their prices are like, but there was another place I went to near Buffalo, and the guy had a ton of vintage stuff, but he also had a lot of the new vinyl. And I didn't really look at his prices either. I'm guessing it's more expensive than Amazon, but if you want to support your local shop, you know, maybe you pay $5 extra, but you're supporting the local shop. And if you want to have a local shop to go to, you know, maybe you pay a little extra. I think that's something you consider. So you have your local shops that are really, and depending on what area you live in, if you live in a bigger city, you're probably going to have a lot of options. So, you know, tried and true, the record stores, that's their main thing. A lot of them are selling new vinyl. A lot of them don't. There's a couple of them, I mean, there's one in Pittsburgh that's pretty famous that I went to, Jerry's Records. They don't sell anything new. That's a huge place. I would like to go back there because that was about the third place I think I went to when I was building my collection. And that was a nice place. Nothing new at that place, though. All vintage, which is cool. But so support your shops. But if you have limited options, like I mentioned, I got the Iron Maiden Number of the Beast at Walmart. They actually have a pretty good selection of vinyl, even in Little Bradford, Pennsylvania. I've bought a few there. For the most part, they're basically like Amazon, but maybe a couple dollars more. But again, if you're kind of in the mood to get a new record and you want to take it home and get to play it that day, you know, you go to Walmart and you pay a couple extra bucks and there you go, and you've got some new wax to spin. Target, I bought Journey's Greatest Hits, I think, at Target. That's about it. And I was actually at a Target last night, and they did not have much, but they did not have much in stock. But their stickers with the pricing on it did have a decent amount of selection. And there's a few, Target does even in the vinyl realm carry some Target exclusives, like Evanescence, their debut album, which I wouldn't mind getting. It was under $20, but they didn't have it in stock. I know that's a Target exclusive, and it's like a clear or silver vinyl, which is another thing I wanted to touch on with the new vinyl. It's pretty cool. A lot of them are colored vinyls, and you get a lot of different cool colors, and some have swirled or clear. It's just a little perk, and sometimes you actually get a choice too. Like you may have, especially bands that sort of sell their own stuff. You know, if you go to a site, a band you like, they may be offering up their vinyl, especially when they're doing pre-orders, and they may have four different colors you can choose from, which is really neat. I think it's a neat, you know, it doesn't change the way they sound, but it's kind of cool. And it's really cool if you buy one and you don't know, because Amazon doesn't always tell you or have a picture. So a few times I've gotten records not expecting them to be colored vinyl or anything, and you open up, you get a red vinyl or something. It's, I don't know, it's kind of nice. It's kind of like Christmas, you know, a little surprise. A lot of the new vinyl, most of them, not all of them, a lot of the new vinyl are now also what they call 180-gram audiophile vinyl. And it's a thicker, heavier record. And the idea is it's the more dense, the more weight, the more it presses and holds against your platter and your tighter bass response, you're eliminating vibration and supposed to get a better sound. And it's nice. You can, you know, it's nice and heavy. You pull that record out of the sleeve and you've got this nice, heavy record. It certainly feels nice, man. Whether it sounds so much better, I don't know. But it's just a perk of having the new vinyl. And it may be something you think about if you have a record you really want and you don't know if you want to hold out and try to get a vintage copy or if you want to get a repress. Well, if you can get a repress that's off the analog tapes and it's the 180 gram, and then if it's on top of that, it's a colored vinyl, that may be the tipping point for you to say, I think I'm going to get the re-release of this. Barnes & Noble's, I believe, I've never gone to I've bought one record off of Barnes & Noble's online, but a friend of mine, Brian Stanko, the guy that got me into this thing, he's gone. There's a Barnes & Noble in Erie, Pennsylvania. It's about an hour and a half from me. There's a Barnes & Noble, and he'll go there from time to time, and I guess they have a decent selection of vinyl, and their prices aren't bad. I guess I'll mention, I mean, FYE, which I think was just purchased, so they could turn into maybe, they were purchased by somebody that I think is going to put them into more of a music store than all the games and toys and everything else they're running right now. But I don't know if it'll do anything about their prices. That's the one thing I would say about it. I went to an FYE again. It was actually that day I made my first trip. I talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. I went to Olean, New York. And I actually, the first stop was an FYE. And I will say they had Hole Live Through This, and it was 50% off. And I think the label price was $30. But I didn't pick it up because it was the first stop. And that's one that I sort of kicked my... I could probably do... If I do more podcasts, this trilogy is sort of the getting into the game. But I probably will do some episodes beyond this where I touch on other subjects. I could probably do a whole podcast of, you know, stuff I kick myself in the ass over because I didn't pick it up. And that's one of them. I always think, boy, that would have been a nice one to get for $15. But I will tell you, overall, unless something's on sale, their prices, to be honest, are pretty atrocious. whereas you may have something on Amazon for $20, they would probably be over $30. And I don't want to shit on FYE, but that's the reality of it. And I'm here to tell you where you should go get your vinyl or places to look. I'm not telling you what to do. Do what you want. But I'm telling you where you can find some deals and what to look for. So that's my job. My job isn't to protect FYE until they start sponsoring this podcast. So speaking of this podcast, as we're about to try to wrap up here, I am starting a new podcast called Vinyl Connection. I can tell you the first podcast we did, I did it under my other podcast named Metal for Dummies. So if you're listening to this through Metal for Dummies, because I'm also loading this to Metal for Dummies, go do a search for Vinyl Connection. I'm going to sort of dual source these, at least these first three. So they'll be on Metal for Dummies, but I also started a new moniker of Vinyl Connection. So that's where we'll do these podcasts. And if you have a chance to comment I'd love to hear feedback. The more feedback I get, the more likely I am to do more episodes, maybe more frequently. And if you have ideas for stuff, topics, fire away. I'm happy to accommodate. These things are going to run an hour or less, pretty much is what I want to keep them at. And we're closing in. Vinyl Connection is also a group on Facebook. If you are not a part of it and want to join, just look us up. Again, there's I started out a Facebook page called Vinyl Connection, so you will see that as well. And I think I'm going to put the podcast links on the page and the group, but the group is where the most action is. That's where everybody that joins is free to comment and post. And a lot of us will just post what we're spinning. I'll try to put deals I find on Amazon or wherever that I think are good deals. And it's just a community. It's something I'd like to see more people do input as far as their setups and suggestions and things like that. So if you like this podcast, check out the Facebook group, Vinyl Connection. Make some comments if you can on Spotify, or I know iTunes allows you to review the podcast and leave comments, so I would like to hear it. But I think we covered it. Again, it probably sounds silly purchasing vinyl, but when I got my player, I had that one record I ordered online, and beyond that, I was like, boy, I don't know. I want to get more records, but I don't know what to do. So, again, Google's your friend. You can find places, but even beyond the obvious, like if you don't have a tried and true, if you're in a small town and you're starting out and you don't want to drive 2 or 3 hours right away to go to a shop, but you want to try to get some vinyl, look for antique stores, look for things like that. You may find some good hits, and you probably find good prices at places like that. The antique store I went to, I mean, stuff was a dollar or less for the most part. They just didn't have anything that was my cup of tea. But keep looking. That's the fun of it, because if you go to a place and they have all kinds of stuff you like, you're gonna hit a gold mine. So keep spinning the vinyl, folks. Enjoy it. Don't forget to clean your records. That's going to be a big part of our chapter 3 of the trilogy of Welcome to Vinyl, I guess we'll call it. The starting out, the newcomer. That's me as well. Just sharing information I've picked up over the last 2 years, especially if you're on the fence and you want to get in, but you're not sure. These are some tips, tricks, and advice, and I hope you get into the game. And if you're in the game, I hope you love it. You should love it. If you don't love it, maybe there's just something with your setup that's holding you back that you can do on a budget that you can make some improvements. So keep spinning, folks. I like doing these podcasts. I hope you enjoy listening to them. Check out the Vinyl Connection page on Facebook, the group, excuse me. The page is not as active as the group. Get on the group. Ask to join. We'll let you in and make some and then participate. Comment away. Subscribe to this thing. It's going to be on Spotify, iTunes, a few other places. I'm using the Anchor app, and they're going to do all this for me. So I'm Andy Munch with Vinyl Connection. If you're listening to this through Metal for Dummies, go ahead and check out for Vinyl Connection, because I think after the trilogy, I'm gonna double source this on Metal for Dummies and Vinyl Connection for the trilogy. After that, I think we're just gonna go solo through Vinyl Connection. And again, I don't know how often we'll have these. It'll depend on coming up with topics that I can do at least half an hour on, and we'll just see how it goes. Might be once a month, might be a couple times a month, might be less than that. We'll see. I enjoy doing it. I hope you enjoy listening to Vinyl. Leave your comments. Let me know what I can do better. Tell me I suck. Tell me you like it. Tell me what you want to hear more about. And we'll try to accommodate. So keep that wax spinning on those turntables, and if you go out looking for vinyl and used vinyl especially, I just wish you the best of luck, because there's nothing like You know, you paw through 100 vinyls, and if you find one that you really like, it's this really great feeling that you found, you know, find inside. It's truly a treasure hunt. So buying new vinyl for me is more of a purpose to get stuff that I really wanted, that I've targeted, that I want, that I need to have in my collection. Used vinyl, it's more intimate. It's more, there's a smell. There's a smell when you go and you're looking through the used, that old cardboard or whatever you want to call it. Like I said, you paw through 100 records and you're not finding anything, and all of a sudden you turn the page you flip to the next record, it's AC/DC or it's Kiss Alive or it's whatever you, maybe something you had in the back of your mind you wanted. It's a fun feeling. It feels really great to pull. It's like pulling that gem out. So hope you enjoyed as much as I do, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.